From the studios of KXCI Community Radio in Tucson, Arizona, I'm King David McKenzie with The Truth. Here's some of how the world is treating itself today, the 30th of April, 2009. The Republithugs have set a new low for themselves just before the House of Representatives passed the hate crimes bill last night. A Congress critter named Virginia Fox, who allegedly represents the 5th District of North Carolina, the Winston-Salem area, had the gall to take to the floor of the House and utter the following words, quote, "The bill was named after a very unfortunate incident that happened where a young man was killed, but we know that the young man was killed in a commitment of robbery. It wasn't because he was gay. The bill was named for him. The hate crimes bill was named for him, but it's really a hoax that continues to be used as an excuse for passing these bills." End of quote. The man the bill was named after was Matthew Shepard, and apparently nobody has bothered to inform Madame Fox that simple robbery victims are rarely, if ever, tied to a fence and left for dead, or that the murderers in the case were well aware of their victims' sexual orientation and specifically posed as gay men to lure him out of a bar in order to pistol whip him with a .357 Magnum before tying him to said fence. As Harlan Ellison said years ago, the two most common elements in the universe are hydrogen and stupidity. From the other coast, the airhead, that is Miss California, USA, Carrie Prejean, is now actively running around the country campaigning against equal rights for homosexuals. The 21st century Anita Bryant is using her 15 minutes of infamy to concoct a new commercial for the hate group National Organization for Marriage. She started out her new career as a hate monger by responding vaguely to Matt Lauer's questions on NBC's Today broadcast this morning. Of course, NBC won't have the guts to give equal time and promotion to someone from the Human Rights Campaign. For their part, the Miss California USA pageant brass has issued their own statement, which reads in part, quote, "In the entire history of Miss USA, no reigning title holder has so readily committed her face and voice to a more divisive or polarizing issue. We are deeply saddened Carrie Prejean has forgotten her platform of the Special Olympics, her commitment to all Californians, and solidified her legacy as one that goes beyond the right to voice her beliefs and instead reveals her opportunistic agenda." End of quote. One of this year's judges, former Miss Nevada Alicia Jacobs, blogged that, "I do not fault her for her beliefs. I fault her for her complete lack of social grace, and that's a quality I want my Miss USA to possess." End of quote there. And Shanna Mokler, the model, former Miss USA in 1995 and co-executive director of the Miss California organization, told NBC Universal Television that the organization paid for breast implants for Prejean 7 weeks ago, apparently common in the pageant business. Mokler also says that she and other personnel from the Miss California organization have been trying to contact Prejean about her conduct during and after the Miss USA pageant, and Prejean refuses to speak to them, deflecting contacts to her mother and public relations representative. Far from the kind of role model that any teenager with a functioning brain should want to listen to, let alone admire. Some LGBT activists are hinting that they're getting pies ready for Prejean and suggesting folks take a look at the Wikipedia entry for the term pieing, P-I-E-I-N-G, especially the line about Anita Bryant. As for the subject of marriage, a 50-year-old Saudi Arabian man has agreed to divorce his 9-year-old wife. You heard correctly. Not 29-year-old or 19-year-old, but 9 year old. Although the child's mother objected to it, not too sharply, mind you, after all, we are talking about Saudi Arabia here, the child's father approved of the marriage, which was established last year when the child was 8 years old. The practice is approved by several of Saudi Arabia's top Islamic clerics. A court in the 50-year-old man's home city of Onaiza upheld the marriage on the provision that it not be consummated until the wife reached puberty. The swine flu situation is getting uglier, if not substantially worse. Arizona has its first confirmed case, an 8-year-old in Phoenix. Fort Worth, Texas has shut down all of its schools for the rest of the week. And the related Pinhead Hate Yak radio sideshow continues. But one piece that popped up on Salon.com has some important facts to consider. Number one, math. The greater Mexico City metropolitan area has a population of 22 million people. Many millions of them live in crushing poverty, poor health, and with poor sanitary conditions. 1,000 cases, which is higher than the so far reported number, would equal 0.005% of the population. 60 deaths equals 0.0003% of the population. Number two, deaths. Of the few deaths, no one has mentioned who these casualties are. Are they, by any chance, elderly or infirm people who could just as easily be killed by the common cold or a slip and fall? That makes a difference. Number three, the long history of government pharmaceutical industry scams. These guys have tried to institute national flu vaccination programs before. The last time was 1976 under Gerald Ford. The public recognized the foolishness and danger involved in accepting the government vaccine and rejected it. The much-threatened pandemic never happened. From that twilight zone between substance and supposition, Pakistani President Asif Ali Zardari says his country's intelligence agencies believe Osama bin Laden is dead, but they have no hard evidence to that effect. Pakistani and U.S. officials are continuing to act as if bin Laden is still alive. Meanwhile, that on-again, off-again Spanish investigation into U.S. torture at Guantanamo Bay is on again, thanks to Judge Baltazar Garzon, who says Gitmo is a legal limbo, which under universal law allows him to investigate. Two national broadcasting corporations, one of which owns radio stations in Tucson and Phoenix, are having even more money problems. Cumulus, which had been in the running to purchase Disney ABC's radio stations a couple of years back, is now demanding all of its employees take 5 days off without pay at some point between tomorrow and the end of June. Meanwhile, Chump Channel, Clear Channel, the corporation that gave Rush Limbaugh his OxyContin money, is now close to defaulting on its loans. Clear Channel owns, among other Arizona stations, KNST in Tucson and KFYI in Phoenix, the initial Hate Yak outfits in each market. Meanwhile, a Cheyenne, Wyoming man who worked at a fast food joint by day and operated a bootleg radio station without income for the last 6 years is looking at a year in jail and a $100,000 fine. His radio station had the plug pulled on it by Federal Communications Corruption Agents yesterday. Perhaps not coincidentally, Chump Channel owns 4 stations licensed to Cheyenne, one of which, KGAB, is the city's main hate yakker. And if those call letters, KGAB, sound vaguely familiar, think of the movie Talk Radio. That's the call sign that the radio station at which the Eric Bogosian character worked in Dallas. Obituaries today include one for Paul Pershman, the professional wrestler of the 70s and 80s who called himself Playboy Buddy Rose, whose body gave out on him as he was watching television in his Vancouver, Washington home earlier this week. He was 56 years old. Part of his act was forcing ring announcers to give his weight as 217 pounds, while the allegedly official number would be 270 pounds, and the real weight appeared to be even more than that at times. If you have any material that you'd like for me to include in the next few days, just email me at baronofarizona@gmail.com. That's baronofarizona@gmail.com. And please indicate where you're listening to this program from. Of course, if you don't like this news, you always have the option of making some news yourself. In Tucson, I'm King David McKenzie. Until tomorrow, have yourselves some peace and oranges.